This is the Othello City Council meeting Monday, June 22nd, 2015, 7:00 p.m.
Evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to our regular scheduled Othello City Council meeting, July 22nd, 2015. If you'd all please rise. Eugene Bain is going to lead us in a short prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your abundance, Lord, and we just pray that we all make the wise decisions tonight and definitely keep our city in mind, because that's what we're here for, Lord. And we thank you in your name. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May be seated. Again, I'd like to welcome everyone. As we move to item 1.3 on our agenda tonight, roll call. Ken Johnson is at a family gathering out of state, and he's asked to be excused, and I would entertain a motion tonight to excuse Ken Johnson.
Make that motion.
Second.
We have a motion made in second to excuse Ken Johnson from tonight's proceedings. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. About 45 minutes to an hour ago, I received a telephone call from Mark Snyder. He was en route from La Crosse, and so he said he was going to be a few minutes late. So at this time, I would entertain a motion to excuse him for the first portion of the meeting until he arrives from his trip.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Motion made in second to excuse Mark Snyder. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Moving on to item number two, approval of agenda. We did have a request to add an item to our agenda tonight.
Well, we'd like to have the engineers give us some updates on the projects and things that they've been working on while they're here.
Okay, so why don't we move them to item 4.45? And that's Varela and Associates. Actually, I'm going to change that to 4.55. And we'll do it after our moratorium prohibiting marijuana production. And with that, I'd approve, entertain a motion to approve tonight's agenda as amended.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Motion made in second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Moving on to item three, our consent agenda. At this time, I'd entertain a motion to approve tonight's consent agenda.
Make that motion.
Second.
Motion made in second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. I forgot item 1.4, citizen input. This time, citizen input is open for any citizen wishing to address the Othello City Council. If you'd like to be recognized and address the council, please raise your hand, and I will give you 5 minutes to address the council regarding any issue you desire. Is there anyone here who wishes to address the city council tonight? Okay, hearing none. We'll move on to item 4.1, public hearing on the city's six-year transportation improvement plan. So at 7:04 p.m., I will open the this public hearing and receive a presentation to the city council on the six-year street improvement plan. Dan?
Being mayor and councilman, this chair's handed this off to me. Thank you. Anyway, the There's two items that have been added to the plan, the six-year street plan that's been in effect for the last several years. Two items, and they would be on page three, 12. Anyway, the 14th Avenue and Highway 26 intersection. That was one of the requests we had. And then the last page, on page four, we added a 7th Avenue and Highway 26 overpass to the six-year street plan. The rest has been on there for the last several years.
Spencer, can you bring that up so that the, public can see the last one, the worksheet? Okay. There we go. Okay, so let's review the streets that are on the plan. From Cemetery Road to Highway 26, okay.
Okay, so Cemetery Road to 26, and I understand that's been very close. So, in the South Broadway reconstruction, in Elm to Columbia, that's been on there. We're actually going to be doing three blocks on First and Main, three blocks south. This year, yes. Then North Broadway reconstruction, so evidently those two got, well, that's Main to B.
Yep.
And four there, I don't know, First Avenue reconstruction. From Third to SR 26, which is the south end of First Avenue. B Road. 7th to 14th Avenue. East Concrete Drive upgrade. SR 24, East to Fourth Property. Kind of that's halfway, thanks to the shop stands there, for the county ideas, and it's just gravel, like that one. And then SR 24 industrial area improvements, these are things that have been on the street plan for 30 years.
Okay.
7th Avenue and Columbia Street construction. Seventh and Columbia Front Street, two solid yard, solid yard.
Isn't that the Guadalupe Haven, that scoop, 7th Avenue?
Yes, that would be Catholic Charities was
yes.
there, and
mm-hmm.
so that's the one south of it. Then we're on Scoopy. West across the railroad tracks. Yes. Broadway Avenue, Ocean View.
So no street there.
No street. This is, oh, that must be over the hill.
It's going, it's going that way for a potential industrial park.
We crossed, yeah, we have an access there. The lower properties and that pond. So that's been on the books for a long stretch. I see that lane, this, that's a lot easier to read than this one. Turn lanes and approaches on 24. Citywide walk path throughout the city. Corporate wide walk path. We had some funding that just disappeared because of Governor taking the minutes of that. So that's still on the books. And then the last item on this page is 14th Avenue and Highway 26 intersection. The possible needs of a turn lane and right turn pocket acceleration line were all part of this. 26, as well as getting 14th Avenue to actually be able to go up from the border area highway to 14th Avenue. So it's my opinion that it's stopped just about the fence line before we actually make the highway. Our project, so there will be a zone in there.
Okay. And those are the 12?
And then there's one more. The last page here. The 7th Avenue and Highway 26 overpass construction. This is something we related to the council was wanting to put on here. So the thought and forecasting is secret on that.
I think that's a good addition. Council, do you have any comments or questions of staff on the plan?
Now, are there are quite a few of these that we're going to be completing? Is that correct?
Subject to funding.
Yeah, subject to funding. And well, 14th Avenue will be done
next year.
Next year. And then there's a few of others that we're just kind of waiting on the funding, and then they'll be completed. So then we'll just add more to the list.
Yes.
As they come off.
Okay. Appreciate the committee working with the Public Works Department and staff to develop this plan. Is there anything anybody wants to add? Okay. Thank you, Dan. This time, I'll open the public hearing to public testimony. First of all, those in support of the six-year transportation improvement program for the city of Othello, is there anyone here from the public that would like to speak in support of the plan? Is there anybody who would like to speak who is neutral to the plan? Is there anyone present who would like to speak in opposition to the city's plan? Okay, hearing none, then I will close this public hearing at 7:13 p.m. Council, would you like any additional information before you make a motion to authorize the mayor to sign this resolution? To adopt this 2016-2021 six-year transportation improvement program. Okay. Mark Snyder has arrived at 7:14 p.m., so we're about to vote on adopting the six-year transportation improvement program. Although I need a motion to authorize the mayor to sign this resolution.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
We have a motion made in second. Is there any discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Dan. And I guess I moved ahead to item 4.2, and you guys have now authorized the mayor to sign that resolution. So we'll move to Item 4.3, Hampton 14th Avenue Annexation Request, and Travis has a staff report.
Good evening. My name is Travis Goddard. I'm the Community Development Director of the City of Othello, and I'm here to introduce the annexation petition that came forward. It is for 14th Avenue, or an annexation on 14th Avenue, just south of the Columbia Basin Health Authority Association annexation that you reviewed earlier this year. So the purpose of the annexation petition was to have that property brought into the city. They are proposing a zoning of C1 and proposed dedication of a half-width right-of-way for Columbia Street. And I threw that note in there because the Hamptons have responded to a request by the city to donate the half-width right-of-way of the 14th Avenue project that's on CIP. And actually, to date, they're the only ones who actually done the paperwork in on time and did it well. So I wanted to thank them for that very much. Made my job a lot easier to actually get that done with them quickly and efficiently. The project map we are talking about is, sorry, this is Google Earth picture and it's a little skewed away from me, and I'm sorry about that. But this is the CDHA site directly north of the yellow box that's identified as site on the property. And they are requesting annexation of this in approximately the southern half of that quarter section. And it's the corner of 14th Avenue and Highway 26. Give you an idea, the blue line here represents the current city boundary that comes up around the properties and back towards Main Street. And the dedication that they are talking about or proposing as part of the annexation agreement is the Columbia Street right-of-way that would go along the northern boundary of their property. And the applicable codes in this case are RCW 3513, and it grants the city the authority to do annexations. This is a direct petition request, meaning that they're not going through an election. It's a voluntary petition by the owner of the property. And according to 3513, zoning can be part of the annexation process, and so they exercise that by requesting C1. This is the zoning for that area, and you can see that CBHA, sorry, it's not the greatest color, but that is, it's yellow for commercial one. Across the street, commercial one, that's owned by DDM Enterprises. They are proposing a commercial property at that corner, and you can see there's some residential. This is R4, R3, R2 up above, R2 in the Sagestone and Ashwood Notch. And then this is future Sagestone, that's R4. That gives you an idea of what's in the vicinity. And then the next step, should you decide that you want to entertain the petition, is you will do a public notice for the proposed hearings. And staff will route petition or agency comments so that we can identify what issues with the citizens with this. And then we will prepare a recommendation and an ordinance for you to consider at future hearings. There are actually some courts with the annexation RCWs, and a very quick chart on that. And there's kind of two separate tracks, and that is the annexation itself. The public hearing would be July 27th, at which time you would adopt the ordinance deciding whether or not you wanted to annex it. And the zoning request would have a first public hearing at that same thing where we talk about the possibilities of if this annexed, what the zoning will be. And then there has to be a second hearing by RCW, and it needs to be more than 30 days out. So that would be a second hearing on September 14th. In the interim, when you were, if you were to choose to go ahead with the annexation, it would have interim zoning of whatever they propose until you reach that final conclusion at the September 14th hearing, at which time it would become effective based on what you decide at the September 14th hearing. So there's kind of two separate tracks, one for the in and out of the city and the other for what the zoning would be. But specifically, the zoning requires two hearings, whereas the annexation requires one hearing. so it's kind of important that the list is kind of through the code. Are there any questions?
Can I go back to the timeframe? So we'd have an annexation hearing on the 27th, and in that, as you outlined, that's going to be the steps where we'll establish effective date. And then we, what's this concept of an interim zone zoning?
So for some reason, the zoning section, which is 35A-1340, specifically says that zoning requires two hearings. So I guess the idea or the thought behind it, as far as I could tell, was you need to be able to decide whether you want it in the city or not. The question is, what would be zoned once it's in the city is kind of a question that they felt should be answered at the exact same time. So,
but why is that necessary if it's already zoned Z1 or C1?
It's not. Currently, it's...
Why couldn't we just make a motion to accept the annexation under the conditions of the current zoning? Because they're not requesting any different zoning than what's already there.
Actually, it's currently zoned...
Ag-suburban.
Ag-suburban, yeah. Ag-residential.
Well, then why'd you show the map with the zoning already in C1?
I didn't. I'm sorry. That was the proposed annexation in C1.
Okay.
So that's what we're proposing.
And it's C1 right across the street?
Yes. So that property there is C1.
So there is no proposed, there is no zoning right now for that other than ag?
That's right. It's currently county agriculture. Not only is it regular agriculture, it's not even they have a prime agricultural zoning district, but it doesn't start until the other side of the city.
So the fastest way to get this through is the way you've just explained it. It's going to take almost three total months to get it done?
Not necessarily. Now, the other option, I think what we're going to pursue with CDHA is they have been annexed with the C1 zoning. Technically, that's interim until they have a future hearing. So when they come before you for their subdivision, I'll just finalize the zoning at the time that they do their subdivision.
For the preliminary plat?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So technically, it says they have to have two hearings. It doesn't say that they both have to be done prior to proceeding with the vote. It can be concurrent with the proposal. In this case, though, there is no proposal that's going to go forward on this case. So it's better that we just take care of both of us in the vote. But technically, it will have C1 zoning as soon as you guys decide to annex it with that.
So the Hamptons are here and the representative, I'm wondering if I could ask a question of them. You own, well, currently this proposed annexation site and the property immediately adjacent to the Columbia Basin Health and this site, that quarter section is in the county. Is there any particular reason why you guys don't want to annex that particular piece of property at this time?
Good evening, Mayor Hogan and council members. My name is Steve Burnham. I'm representing the Naomi Hampton family and their limited liability company that owns this property that Travis was discussing. And with regard to the history of this, we were originally months back looking to bring in the whole portion of the remaining quarter section. We ran into some concerns that were generated through other discussions that we've been having with the Columbia Basin folks, and there was some indication that they were looking to do some LID development at Scooby Street and that they were going to impose additional costs and stuff on the Hampton family parcels at because they were all coming in. Well, we're not, the Hampton family isn't in the development business and wouldn't be benefiting from that. That would all be for the Columbia Basin folks. So we said, well, we're not going to put the family at risk of having to come up with money to manage an LID that they may not use for years and years in their terms of access along Studi. So at this point, until that work is a little more clear to this, a little more clear about what the Columbia Basin project is going to be doing and obligated to do, we just want to proceed with this about 17 acres, a little less than 17 acres, that's directly below them, and also along 14th where the development of the road is going. And it's consistent with the zoning on both sides, and so we felt that that was the first step in trying to, we do want to bring it all in, but at this point, we're not confident enough that we will not suffer some negative consequences down the road through development of other properties. It is important to know that this parcel on the right east side, the family did bring in the northern section of that a few years back, and that was in connection with some city desires for some additional annexation land at parks and so forth. I wasn't involved in any of that. I don't have the details on that, but it's a that parcel already is in terms of land available for residential development, and then this other portion is. In terms of sequence and timing, I mean, it's not necessary. At this point, there's no pending commercialization of the development of that that's jumping forward. And so we feel that there's an opportunity to get this one site in, which may have opportunity for commercial development as the Columbia Basin project moves forward to the other property. We still would like to, and we're not resisting that, but it's just we don't have enough confidence in where that's going with the Columbia Basin project. So that was a long answer. I really apologize. I was trying to give you the background.
That was a good answer.
The family is excited about it. They really appreciate the opportunity to get to have this considered by the city. And it's a, as you know, the family has had this property here for generations. And
right.
They don't take the development of that type of stuff lightly, and it's a serious business to them. And that's also why they are cautious about how they proceed. So they're willing, but cautious.
Okay.
Yeah, they answer any other questions.
Okay. Council, do you guys have questions? Very good. Thank you, Steve. Mm-hmm. So, Travis?
No, sorry,
does the council have any questions of Travis then? Okay, so I think what we need is a motion to authorize staff to proceed with the annexation process as outlined by Travis for this particular piece of property of the Hamptons.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
I have motion made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you very much. Okay, we're going to move to item 4.4, restrooms in Lions Park. And the creativity of the staff is coming out. And so, Spencer, do you want to give the council an update?
I don't know about the creativity. When we were building the 2015 budget, one of the things that the council really wanted to do was put another bathroom up in Lions Park, just like the one. The new one that we put in Kiwanis last year. And we can't always do everything that we want to do, and so that was one of those items that we just kind of put to the side for a little bit. And the request that it was that we revisit that as we move into the year and see if it's still a possibility or if it becomes a possibility. And I've outlined a couple of reasons here why it has become a possibility. And so tonight, ultimately, I was kind of get your approval to move forward with this project, if this is something that you want to do, and talk about some of the different funding options and some of the reasons why it has been available. First is the 14th Avenue project. This is a significant project. It's most of it is funded by a grant, 8% of it is funded by a grant. But then the other 20% is local match. And so the street fund was paying for a significant portion of this. It wasn't able to pay for all of the match. And so we got some dollars from utility tax that we were transferring over the street fund to help it make this match. And so if we're not moving forward with the 14th Avenue project this year, we have with engineering and those kinds of things. And so we incur expenses, but we're not going to incur all the expected expenses if we're not moving forward with that project with the construction piece. So we have available dollars in the utility tax fund. That's one. And then the second is the REIT dollars. About a month or a month and a half ago, we spoke to council briefly about $53,000 that came from the state. Typically, our real estate excise tax dollars come from the county. We'll get $1,000 to $3,000 a month and about $37,000 a year in our real estate excise tax fund. This year, about a month or 2 months ago, we got one payment from the state of $53,000. And this was due to a couple sales, car sales in our area. I checked with the state, it's not a mistake, so it's our money that they're not going to be asking for, they're not going to ask for it back here in a couple of months, which is an important thing to know. So we have REIT dollars and we have our utility tax dollars. And I put together two different proposals here. We can have one this year. Here's the first one. The bathroom is going to cost roughly about $150,000. And maybe before I move on, I got a couple numbers from the Public Works Department to see how hard this $150,000 was. And they went back to the drawing board with some research and to get a park facility or a bathroom facility, which is an exact duplicate of the one we put in at Kiwanis. There's a big long list of specs here, but to get one that's exactly like that one, about $134,000. And then there are some other costs. The site prep, the concrete, the plumbing, electrical, some of those other things that they were estimating were about $15,000. So together, that's $149,000. So based on that, 150 is probably pretty appropriate for the most. So with that, if the bathroom's $150,000, we have a utility tax fund. I put together two options here. The first is $100,000 from utility tax and $50,000 from REIT, or the other is just split at 50-50 between utility tax and REIT. The second uses more REIT than utility tax dollars. And frankly, that's the one that I would recommend that we go with, because the REIT dollars tend to be more restrictive than utility tax dollars. And I think it just frees up our hands for projects in the future. With that, that's the information for you to consider tonight. And the question is, do we want to move forward with this?
Okay. Council?
I have a question. I understand that you like the second one because it's a little bit more balanced and it frees up a little bit more of the utility fund. But isn't the REIT one the one that was getting pretty low and that we said we kind of wanted to leave alone? In that case, I would say we go with the first one, because then we're not taking out anything more than what we got from the state.
Yeah.
And leaving that balance alone to grow a little. And
And that's a fine idea also. Our budgeted ending fund balance was going to be about $45,000-$46,000 in our REIT fund, and that was without spending anything this year. You're right. So we could try to build.
Yeah, and that one was getting really low, and we wanted to give that a few years to recover. So if we go with the first option, the $50,000, you're not taking out anything more. In fact, you're leaving in about $3,000 extra from the state. Yeah. And we're allowing that to grow for a couple more years, whatever we need to do to get that balance back up.
Right.
Because we have used it down pretty low.
Yeah, a few years ago we used quite a lot of those dollars. The REIT funds are for capital projects. There's an RCW that lists a dozen or two dozen different capital project type things that those dollars can be used for. But you're right, if we leave those dollars over there, it kind of
allows it to still
those dollars off to the side of a little savings account for future capital projects. That's a good thought.
Yeah, I would be more in favor of the first option so that we can let that regrow a little bit more.
Council?
I agree.
I'd say utilize the utility tax fund for $100,000 and then take the remaining balance of what it's going to cost out of the REIT fund, because it's probably going to overrun $150,000.
Okay.
If it's $145,000, $145,000, $155,000.
Yeah, and, well, but that way you're still, you're not depleting and/or that much.
I like it for a lot of reasons. Number one, the council just decided at the last meeting we weren't going to proceed with the 14th Avenue project because of the timing. And so that left money, unspent money in the 2015 budget. One of the priorities this council has shown is it wants to address handicap and bathroom facilities. And this accomplishes a lot of desires and goals of the council to do this. And Spencer had the quick idea to maybe, well, this is what we should do with a portion of this money, this unspent money that we were going to spend on 14th Avenue. And we'll still budget for 14th Avenue next year. So
in our motion, do we have to make the motion to utilize the funding the way we've specified, or just make the motion?
If you do that, that'd be fine.
Okay.
Good. Well, then I'd like to make a motion to authorize staff to purchase a new bathroom utilizing the funding in the way that we explained here tonight. $100,000 from the utility tax, the remaining balance from the REIT fund.
Second that. We have a motion made and seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Very good. Thank you, Spencer.
Thanks, Spence.
Next item on our agenda, 4.5, ordinance on a moratorium prohibiting marijuana production, processing, retail sales, and marijuana gardens. Kelly?
All right. Thank you, City Council. Kelly Concrete, City Attorney. So if you recall, on May 26th, we had a hearing, we had a public hearing to receive testimony, and council deliberated whether to extend the marijuana production and sale moratorium for another 6 months. We had previously, in December of 2014, the council had passed a moratorium, so we're at the end of that. The RCW authorizes the city to go ahead and extend a moratorium, but you have to have a public hearing first, which is why we had the May 26th hearing. Here today, we're just proposing the ordinance to council based on the findings of council entered on May 26th. So at that time, the council decided to extend the moratorium for an additional 6 months to allow staff to research and propose zoning ordinances to regulate marijuana sales and production within the Othello city limits. And so staff is in the process of putting together the research and informing council and giving council different options as to what type of ordinances, zoning ordinances, they can adopt from regulating the use, allowing the use and regulating it to outright banning it. We discussed all that at the last hearing. So we're just tonight have the proposed ordinance for council to affect what it decided after deliberations at that May 26th council meeting. Happy to answer any questions council may have.
Thank you, Kelly. Council?
Yeah.
Okay. At this time, I entertain a motion to authorize the mayor to sign this 6 month moratorium.
I'll make that motion.
Second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Where is it?
Okay, we're going to go to 4.55 on our agenda, Varela and Associates. Jesse, you're going to give the council an update on the projects that you guys have been working on for the city of Othello, and then give the council a chance to ask questions, and so take it away.
Yeah, thanks, Mayor and Council. We actually have quite a long list of projects that we're working on for you. I'm going to get to the water ones, and Kurt's going to kick down all the other ones that we have done for you. Earlier last week, we met the Public Works Committee and talked about the wrong line thing, because, again, we were at your last council meeting, and you got a proposed amendment from us for the pump station design, and we explained this to the council members came to that meeting, but I really wanted to apologize again for that coming the way it did with no time for you to review it and not a ton of explanation. And that's why we had the follow-up meeting with the Public Works Committee to really wanting them to be satisfied with it and also be able to share with people outside the meeting what they learned and be on board with that agreement, what's in it, what we're doing for you guys, our understanding of your needs, and all that. And hopefully, we were successful in conveying that to them. And so, yeah, as far as like the Mountain Lion project goes, just big picture, you know, sometimes we come in and talk specifically about this is exactly what we're doing for you right now. The big picture of the project is the well is drilled, the transmission main is extended from the city out to the project site. The next step is to build a permanent pumping station so that you can draw the water out of the well, get it into your system, supply your system. And with some of the complications with other well pumps breaking, trying to meet summer demand, we were collaborating with the city staff on getting a temporary pump installed in Long Line. And we've been really impressed with city staff coordinating with DOH on that, getting their sign-off on it, also coordinating with us because DOH required an engineer drawing for the temporary piping, that sort of thing. So last week we got all that together. Schneider Equipment got the temporary pump installed. They have pumped out all the data on the pump. Do you want me to go through this? Sure. Okay. So he hasn't been doing all this. I'm just telling you what he's been doing. But they got the temporary well pump installed, the powered by a generator right now. And they flushed the well, they've taken samples, which DOA requires to make sure that the well has the water quality necessary to be able to put it into your system in this temporary setup. And had a little setback on the samples didn't come back. So we went ahead and chlorinated again and flushed again. I think they understand one word we'll have. So anyway, the hope is to get that well out in a temporary fashion to give you guys a little bit of breathing room on getting those other well pumps repaired, getting that back up. And at the same time, we're going to have the pump station design going along, because you guys approved that at the last council meeting. So,
do we know a sustainable flow right now?
So they pumped it at about 1,300 gallons a minute, and we think that kind of, that probably isn't sustainable working on all they have down the well right now, so they went ahead and brought it back to, I think, about 900 gallons a minute, and we're thinking we'll be able to get that into January through the summer. But we don't have all the monitoring equipment installed down the well yet to confirm that, so we'll know more once we get the pumping set up.
What do you think, Dan?
New optimism.
You think what, 600 to 800?
Actually, we pumped it today. We timed out the meter. Everything in there is manual, so we have to time the meter. Anyway, I had a problem back with the valve we installed today. We were up at 875, and we were trying to watch the cable. We had a few minor cues, so we have to do it with a hand broken sound.
Yep, the sounder.
And we sounded it. We were down about 142 feet to the water, and we were at 875 gallons at that point. I think sustained test here, down the road, I believe that we might be lucky after the 800 out of the door. So if we can get that or 750, 700, that would be a real boon to us. So I won't know until we have a longer run time. Basically, we hydrochlorinated it, we flushed it to waste. Today, I pulled the sample, we got it in. We've got, tomorrow, I should know what that is. I had a call in to Andy, and I didn't call his private cell phone yet. So I'll call him tomorrow, and I have a clear vaccine in my hand, and see if he's over to that. He was playing with the paperwork that we had at the point. He did want the road to etch out the temporary piping. Which they did, and got over to it. And so I think we're going to be on board. It's just a matter of trying to hard fight it back to the existing main right now. So we work on that today, and we'll continue to tomorrow.
And you think at $875, you're gonna, that'll help alleviate a lot of the problems we've been having with maintaining the tanks?
Yeah, well, I don't know, $875 is what I'm pumping today, but I hopefully I can do that.
Okay.
I believe that if we can go to $750 to $800, I'm guessing at this point that it'll hold up. I have 135 feet of water, but this current set, remember that that set is only 220 down. The well is more than capable of doing more than that, but I'm not, I don't have enough temporary equipment in the ground.
Yeah.
Pump part.
Yeah.
And if that goes as planned and you get a clean bacteria reading, your estimated time to put that pump in, is this Thursday, or have it running and adding to our system would be this Thursday?
If Andy gives me the final look at Andy's surrounding way, that's my hope, yes.
Okay.
So if there's any questions about temporary pumping, I would be certain to tell.
How long do you think it'll take to get that temporary piping back into the system?
It's probably dependent on materials and...
Well, like anything else, you order everything you want and you're lacking one part. But, you know, if it's in down, we should be able to bolt most of the equipment up. It's because it's a temporary situation, it's kind of angled for... I'm not gonna be able to use HDPE, I'm gonna have to do it with C900, so it's a hard fight in fitting. Getting a thrust port on.
Yeah.
I hope that the next 2 days I get that in. And if I have the fluid from Andy, then we'll run that with generating power probably during the day at this point, because we're gonna have to monitor for 3 days.
So fingers crossed, maybe by this weekend?
Oh, yeah.
Good job, Dan.
Yeah.
So what all is this costing just for this temporary?
And with the hard parts, if Tom's not killing me later, the hard parts should come in at $5,000. So I had to buy a 10 valve for the new well. I'm trying not to. I had a meter once and a brand new meter that I could use. I had a silent check that I could use. I'm using everything I have. I have pipe enough that I can use, but I did have to buy some fittings. So some 45s and 22.5 just in case, plus some dirt rings and things like that. So I think that I'm gonna write around $2,000 now, and maybe that's where it ends, but I won't worry about that.
That includes the pump or not the pump? Or is that just rented?
That's a rental. The pump and the gen sets, I don't know exactly how Snyder's gonna handle the use of this pump. He had what he had in his yard. He had, they spent time cleaning it up and installing it. I'm sure there'll be some fees to that, but I don't know what the end result of that is gonna be just yet.
But the gen set will go away as soon as the transformer switch is made, so that's a short-term deal there.
This is without putting in the tie-in today, and they'll finish that tomorrow. And then as soon as I get the pad over the transformer out on the well side, they should be able to pull wire at least to the well side. So if you've got any extra funding, come on now.
That's very good, thank you.
Yeah, okay. So that's the update on one line.
Okay.
There's a couple other assignments that I'll just give a brief update on, and Chris got a big long list of other things going for it. But on the water supply side, Department of Health has a funding source called the Drinking Water Shared Water Fund, and the city's received a couple of one grant from one program and seven grants from another program, which potentially is going to get expanded to 9 grants.
I believe that's what Travis told me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'll tell you about the first one. The one we have the one grant for is it's a pre-construction grant, which means it can be used on anything not construction. And what those are going to use it on is a water supply study. So we're going to look at all your existing wells, look at kind of their life expectancy, potential modifications to them to increase their yield, and then also look at other potential water supply sites that you might be able to add wells to your system to expand your groundwater supply and extend the amount of time you can rely on it as kind of your sole source. And, you know, I believe aspects of the city apply to the Ossipee River. Also look at some alternate supply sources, potentially treating water out of the ground, out of the canals, and using that as a source, and also using it for aquifer storage and recovery. So anyway, this one, water supply study is going to look at the wells specifically, the longer term questions that we looked at by aspect under a separate contract. This is going to be specifically looking at existing wells and then the possibility of adding wells. So the Department of Health, well, so the state budget hasn't passed yet. Department of Health funding is contingent upon that budget passing. It will pass eventually, but they started sending out necessary notices. Don't proceed with any work on these grants, new grant funded projects, until we pass the state budget, essentially. The water supply study has the grant portion and has the city portion. So, cities authorized us to move ahead with the amount of funding that the cities they contribute, and then if needed, stop work when that and the city share is expended. Chances are the state budget is going to pass and it will be soon. So, any questions on that water supply study? Yes. Then the water system consolidation study, is that the other DWSRF grant program that we have seven, potentially nine grants to do it. So there's these are water system consolidation studies to look at the feasibility of essentially absorbing some of the smaller systems on the periphery of the fellows. And it's a pretty cool opportunity to look at some parallel planning issues, and that's why Travis applied for these grants. To one of the reasons, I guess, it was kind of a good thing for both sides. And then, you know, small systems get the analysis capability to connect, and the city gets to look at some of these planning issues that surround all of those things. So we're going to work with the city once we get those grant contracts processed through the DWSRF. Because those ones are totally grant funded, there's no city share on those, so we can't proceed with them until you get these grant contracts in place. So that's just in a whole pattern of those state budgets have to get those to give you a grant contracts. So I won't go into any more of that with that specifically unless there's any questions, council. All right. Thank you,
Jesse.
Mayor. So is that's in the consent agenda then? By us authorizing the consent agenda, that $74,000 is for the city's share of the water supply study.
So of that $74,49 is the city's share. And if you, I think the actual amendments, I don't know if they're attached in there, but if you read those, that's what the authorization says. The mayor says
No, the amendment just says 74,000.
Yeah, I think so. It's 25,000 as the grant, and the other 49 is the local match. If you look at that table down at the beginning, I think there's a footnote on it that says what the city authorized.
Total authorization in this amendment is $74,000. Is it in the small print in the footer?
Yeah, I think it's
number three.
On the bottom
here. Okay, 25 grant to be used. All right. Okay.
Mayor, Council, staff, thanks for coming this year. Stuff we're working on. I know Travis was here to counsel some of it off of him, but skateboard park, we put together the bid documents. It's gone out to bid this week. The bid opening is July 8th. Farmers market design scope has been sent to the city for review. Traffic studies, Regarding the dual traffic planning and studies element, working with Travis and the planning commission, there's a series of elements that we're going to be looking at in the next few months, probably a year or so. First, avenue reconstruction, we finalized the contract documents, we're working with that. We're working on Lee Road, scope of work for planning, report evaluation for either maintaining or long-term reconstruction alternatives for that stretch of road. Looking at Columbia and First Street intersection, design analysis, preliminary report, we reviewed that with Travis, we'll be preparing final scope of work for council consideration. We also have a road grading crew out in so we'll be forwarding a scope of work to see consideration on that, and we'll also tie into the TIB funding that's coming up pretty soon. There's an ADA evaluation and recommendations. We'll be tying that in to the comp plan and also working with Travis to prioritize the ADA replacement plan and recommendations to the city. So I think traffic-wise right now, that's the primary focus we've been working on. Active notch construction will be happening. Shortly, we have got a schedule of work. We'll be assisting the city with inspection of that. First Avenue, we're concerned where you did that. 14th Avenue, as you know, has been delayed. We have a preliminary review comments. We'll be sitting down with Terry when he gets back and combining our comments and forwarding those to design engineer consideration. South Sewer Extension ties into the state budget, but that's with the Public Works Trust Fund, so soon as that is released, we'll be working on preparing design scope of work and CM for that work. Also, going into the later parts of this summer and fall, there's the IAC Tech meeting, and there's a series of grants, and I think we need to work with the planning department and the mayor and council. Trying to prioritize some of the things in the next 12 months for utilizing grants and funding opportunities. One of the recommendations will be to go have representation go to the IACC meeting. That's where funders and regulators all meet. Gives the city really gives an opportunity to sit down and start collaborating with them about the future, about all the things that the city would like to do.
Is that the one in Wenatchee?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
That's what I was going to ask.
October.
Is that in October?
Yeah. I believe it's October.
Yeah. But there's preparation going into that. That's what I'm talking about. 16-inch water transmission main is on closeout. 6-inch force main projects being closed out this time. I think that wraps up everything I can think of right now. In the future, there'll be the intersection with 7th Street and State Route 26 analysis. An overall traffic study on the city, looking at what future impacts development are going to do to the current traffic patterns, et cetera, in and around the city of Raleigh. Any questions on any of those that I missed?
How about well number 6? Are you guys involved at all?
Initially, we were involved with well 6, but honestly, you guys' staff is first rate.
We're all over it.
We've been very impressed with city staff. We answer the questions when they call, and we didn't handle that.
Dan, maybe you could give the council an update on well number 6. Well, hold on. Council, do you have any questions of Kurt?
No.
Thank you very much, Kurt and Jesse.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
Will, council. Well, 6, I spoke to Chris today, and he said he has half the new carpenters here. They went with 460 stains, and he had to go to the supplier, one who showed up. Hopefully, they're going to go tomorrow. We see the together and bring it up. And we're supposed to be up and start reinstalling yet this week. And that is, that's all we're going. He had, last Friday, he had a couple of being shipped out the most to when I came to California in order to get these covers in. The one set showed up together as of today, had showed up together. So once he gets that all together, and he's gonna, ready to go, he's gonna line up the train, and he has quoted, he said, he'll be back up this week. He has to start his up. And it should take about a 3-day timeframe, not including Sunday. And I'm not sure about Saturday, that depends if the loan money is up and running good, and maybe we don't need a Saturday weekend, not in 5 and a half. So, if not, then we'll have to make that call on the weekend.
So, you're thinking sometime next week for well six?
Yeah, if we do, if it takes what I estimate, it'll take about 3 days to put it back in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
It'll take another, that flush, flush, if that day happens to be early enough, and I flush long enough to pull a sample, and 24 hours later, I get that team sample back. So you just maybe put it on my, providing the original sample passes. So I see it taking 3 days to the, 3-5 days to pull the time to get back to you guys. Unless you happen to get lucky on the third day, flush long enough to feel confident about pulling the sample.
So middle to end of next week?
Yeah.
Okay. And what do you anticipate the gallons per minute on that well six?
The estimate right now is 2,700 gallons a minute for the full set is what we're doing. Now, whether or not, I suspect that we should see a good solid 2,300 gallons a minute, if not closer to 26 for a while. They generally tend to pump everything they designed to try first, but they pull the time and they kind of get it down a little bit as the table drops. So I would think that we should see nothing less than 23 long term from that for years to come. So, and maybe the first 3 years we can see this close to 2,700.
Council?
Once we get back to well nine a little bit, sorry, I regress, but once we get all the permanent stuff in well nine, where are we all thinking that one's going to be at?
Well, the original pump test was not quite 1,500, but the design was going to be for 1,500 gallons a minute.
Okay.
So I said quite often that first year that that was exactly as designed, and then it kind of settled out a little bit. If they do get it at 1,500 and it holds up for a year, currently, I said we pumped it down to about 132 feet today in an hour and a half to 2 hours that I had to flush it. The pump test that I've seen in long term, it had to go up 200 and some odd feet. But where it ends up, what we actually end up getting out of that long term, 13,
15, 19. Okay. I was just curious. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Dan. All right. Let's move to item 4.6 on our agenda. Ordinance adopting a new chapter 12.40, providing for water usage restrictions and imposing monetary and other penalties. Kelly.
Thank you, Mayor. So, in light of the city's recent state of emergency regarding the water supply, in staff in reviewing the code, realized that there are no provisions currently in the Athelia Municipal Code that allows the city to have an enforcement mechanism to force citizens or users of the city's water system to cut back on their usage. And of course, in a situation like this, that can really impede the city's ability to be able to protect the water supply. So city administrator asked me to put together an ordinance, take a look at the codes that exist now and put together an ordinance that would put some, give the city some clear authority to be able to regulate water usage from the city's customers during emergencies. So I put together, I looked at several cities, and our city clerk looked at a few cities and forwarded their ordinances to me. And I looked at those, and I looked at a few other cities' approaches to this issue. And using what other cities have done, seeing what looks like it would work for this municipality, given its issues, and its, or it's not issues necessarily, but situation, what would work best. So I put together this proposed ordinance, and I don't know how much all of you had a chance to look at it, but I'll go over it briefly and hit the highlights and answer any questions anybody may have. So what this does is it authorizes the city administrator to declare a state of emergency in regards to the city's water supply. And when they do so, the city administrator, through the public works director, they have the authority to implement a water use reduction program. And the restrictions in that program depend on the level of emergency declared by the city administrator. So at the temperate stage, so that would be your lowest level state of a water shortage emergency, the public works director would provide a public notification within the city limits, and it would direct the domestic water system users who utilize city water for irrigation and sprinkling to conform to some restrictions. It implements a watering schedule, so your houses that are have an even number address would be restricted to watering on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Odd number houses would water on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays. There would be no watering, no sprinkling allowed on Sundays. The hours during which the domestic users, customers would be able to water their lawns and landscaping would be restricted. They'd only be allowed to water between 3 a.m. and 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. to between 7 p.m. and 11 p.m. And they also are required to keep the water to a minimum. So if you can't overwater. So if you have a situation where you have somebody who's watering so much that they have water running down streets or sidewalks, things like that, that would be a violation of the restrictions. It obligates the city to disseminate or give the water conservation guidelines to all customers and ask for a voluntary water use reduction of between 15% and 25%. It also requires the city to give public notice, use the media to give public notice to the citizens so they're aware of the emergency and can take the appropriate actions. And it also requires the city to meet with what are defined in the code as large water users. And I know that here in Othello, we have some commercial operations use a large quantity of water, and what we've defined in the code as a large water user is anybody who uses on an average of the, I believe, 30 days before the declaration of water emergency, 500 gallons per minute. Let me double check that. That's correct, 30 days. Yeah, and on an average of the immediately preceding 30 days, 500 gallons of water per minute. So the city would meet with the large water users and try and work out a plan that would address the emergency. I understand that on some level that happens now, but that would just be codified in your ordinances. Then from there, you would move to the intermediate stage, which it includes everything from the prior stage of the water shortage emergency. You still have to give all the notifications. You can prohibit at that point. The city would have the option of prohibiting operations of, you know, unnecessary things such as ornamental fountains, things of that nature, prohibiting the washing of streets, sidewalks, driveways, decks, except when it's necessary for public health and safety. It prohibits the filling of swimming pools, spas, ponds, artificial lakes,
prohibit washing of vehicles and boats. However, in this code, I did design it such that it wouldn't prohibit commercial car washing facilities, so if you have your local car washes, wouldn't be prohibited from operating. So somebody still could take their car to a business and have it washed. All the other codes that I looked at did prevent, you know, car wash businesses from doing that. But I designed this so that it wouldn't impact the business. I bring that to the council's attention, so that's something to look at. Other jurisdictions have restricted businesses in these water shortage emergencies at the intermediate stage. But I was, I guess, guessing that the city may not, that this council may not want to do that, but I draw your attention to it so that if you did want to follow other jurisdictions, you have that information. Then if you go to what is identified as the grievous stage, the city can prohibit all watering of any lawn, yard, city-owned park, landscaping, or recreational area. And it would close all city-owned swimming pools, wading pools, splash facilities. And it also authorizes the city to take additional measures if necessary, whatever is necessary to protect the water supply. So those are the highlights. Well, actually, that's not true. There's another thing that is in part here is it does provide penalties. For domestic water users, the first violation of the chapter would simply result in a warning. No fine under the ordinance would be implemented. However, the second violation would be, under your code, a C8 civil infraction, which is in this case, would be a $250 fine. That's after a written warning has been issued. And then that fine would continue for every day the domestic water user, the customer, continued to violate the code.
Okay, a question real quick.
Sure.
Before we skip on. Under 2A there, it says the first violation, the public works director shall issue a written warning. Is it only him that can do that then?
Well, it could be a public works director or his designee.
Should that say that in there? Or?
We can put that in there. It's not required. I mean, you don't need to have an expressive delegation of authority allowing the public works director to delegate that authority, but we can certainly put that in there. So that it's clear to whatever in the future, whatever public work director is looking at this, that it'll be clear that they can designate somebody to do that. So, yeah, that's a good suggestion, though, because it would make it easier to read. For commercial and large water users, the fine is much larger, and there is no requirement of a warning being issued beforehand. The justification, or the rationale rather, behind that is that commercial large water users using 500 gallons per minute are going to have a much more serious detrimental impact on the city water supply during a water shortage emergency. So the suggested penalty here is a $5,000 fine, which is a C1 infraction, the highest level infraction that the city can impose under its code. And that would be each day's violation would be a $5,000 fine. Of course, above and beyond all that, which I think would be more of an impact on the commercial large water users, is the public works director is authorized to cut off water if there is a heavy violation. And I think that is going to be more of an impact on anybody than any of these fines, the threat of that. And that's really the purpose behind this is to make sure that the city council and the city staff have the tools they need to protect the water supply during a water shortage emergency. So I think after discussing the penalties, I think I've hit all the highlights. Certainly happy to answer any questions anybody has. If they have any suggestions on things they'd like to see in here that aren't in here, we can certainly make amendments to this.
Actually, I like how you laid it out. We have three levels, temperate, intermediate, and grievous situations. I guess that's a thought that didn't really occur to me. The temperate level allows even odd day watering so that people can
preserve their lawns throughout the summer and still be able to, I mean, they'd be using less water. However, they would also still be able to keep their lawn alive. Honestly, I just appreciate the community's response, because you drive by and there's a lot of lawns that are dry, and people are responding and responded well. Those that didn't respond either somehow didn't get a notification, or didn't know, or didn't understand, or willfully decided to do it, but with the whole reason behind this was to prevent us from going to a situation where we had to boil water. And I remember when I was a young, when I was a child in Othello, at one point we had to boil water. I couldn't understand why, but according to, I'm sure Dan and Jesse and them could stand up and explain that, but we just didn't want to get into that situation, so we wanted to cut back in order to preserve the supply and also keep a supply to our industry. So I think after you've heard tonight the steps that are being taken by our staff to reestablish that water supply, and we're also undertaking a water supply study that is going to address this issue for the city going forward, so that this hopefully never happens in our lifetime again.
Well, I'd like to let the public know what actually happened and inform the public the reason for this ordinance being put in place. And I believe that we need to get it out in the media. Basically, we ran into a situation where we were at the point of boiling water. Our towers were so low that we did not have enough reserve. If a fire broke out, we'd get nothing coming out of the hydrant, so to speak. So we went to industry first and said, can you shut off? Can you do something to help us alleviate this problem right now, today, at this minute? And they did. They voluntarily shut their plant down for 5 days. And they worked with the city, because they were actually wanting to start up earlier, and the city said, we're not there yet. And so I believe, right, Dan, that they postponed it for another day, allowed the city to get in a position where they could supply them with water and not hurt the public.
Since what you came forward have been extraordinary, they've both cut back to the point of being not too mean, but they've maintained and held what we agreed to, and done a very good job on it.
Now, as far as the public goes, it was kind of a voluntary thing. You know, we got it out there, people started talking, and the word of mouth spread faster than any of the media outlinks that we have, you know, for them to know. And people have voluntarily quit watering, or just minimal amounts of watering, to help with this situation. Now, like Sean said, some people are ignoring that and they're taking what they think they deserve or whatever. But this gives us a means to deal with the situation. And this was a, what, Dan, how long did it last? 5 days? Yeah. A situation of an emergency that lasted about 5 days.
Yeah, depending on your, my level of emergency can be different than yours.
Right.
But, yeah.
And by the 1st of July, or relatively soon, this emergency is going to go away for a period. Not to say it couldn't happen again if we lose some more wells.
But then with this in place, we have a way to deal with it, a lot better way to deal with it.
We have direction with this.
And one of the other things, along with this, just so that everybody knows, is I know that the city is looking into means of putting into place like a reverse 911 or phone system that could do automated calling. It's being looked into, and so we'll have a better way of contacting citizens.
What I thought about on that, and to carry on y'all's conversation, as far as this is a great idea, but I feel more comfortable enforcing stuff like that if everybody knows. Not everybody, I've had a few citizens come up to me, well, I don't get a newspaper. I don't do Facebook.
Yeah.
You know, I think what we should do, and especially if we're going to go to a rotation here pretty quick, is within the next day or so, it won't be that hard, jot down a quick letter, send it to everybody who gets city water. That way, everybody knows you've got a letter if we're billing them. I mean,
yeah.
Just, it doesn't have to be, you know,
well,
one paragraph English, one paragraph in Spanish, and send it out.
Well, and that's one of the things the reverse 911 or the automated system will help alleviate, so you don't have to send it. We could actually have it call the citizens, kind of like the school system does for us.
Right.
But for now,
yeah,
we do need to send. We do need to send out something.
Yeah.
Whether it's in the bill, you know, the utility. In fact, I believe we delayed. We asked them to delay the utility billing was supposed to be mailed out today, and we asked a committee. We asked that it be delayed until Tuesday, so that once this ordinance passed, then there's going to be something mailed out with utilities. The utility billing, so it'll go out to anybody that gets city water.
They go out on Tuesday.
They go out on Tuesday anyway. Well, they were telling us, you know, when we had their meeting, they weren't sure. They thought they went out on Monday, so we asked that make sure that they didn't go out until Tuesday, so that everybody could receive this information along with their utility billing.
My opinion, I think it should be something separate, just for some, and I know it's going to cost a little bit more, just for the simple fact that. Do you always read everything that comes in your utility bill except for the bottom price?
I think you're right. I think it should go out separate too.
I mean, because I know what I owe this month. Okay. Done. You know.
So on that comment, so the question would be, is that something that council wants to make part of this ordinance, or is that direction you want to give to staff to how to handle this particular situation that we have currently?
I think that's the direction that we need to get staff.
Well, I think at this point in time, you know, if we want to change this right now, this needs to be done now. But as far as adding it to this to be done every time, no. Then let's look into the reverse 911 and so forth like that.
Yeah.
But I'm saying for immediately right now, this is what we need to do now.
Okay. You agree, Councilor?
Yes.
Well, I do, but well, once we pass this ordinance, does this ordinance then come into effect, and are we in an emergency situation today?
It would go into effect within 5 days after passage.
Okay. So in 5 days, we get well number 9 online, you know, it starts contributing, and we're holding fast where we're at, and then we get number 6 back up and running in a few days after that. So when do we declare an emergency situation, and how long does that emergency situation last while we're, you know?
Right, and so and under the ordinance, let me look at this. So city administrator has the authority to declare water shortage emergency. It remains in effect until if the city administrator can put a time limit on it, if he knows ahead of time or has a good idea how long this is going to last, or it can be indefinite and it would last until he issues a notice of what I've termed it as notice of cessation, until he gives notice, public notice that it's been terminated. So.
Can I
yes.
Address, in the time I've worked here, we've had some real difficult times, but we've never had in 20 plus hours a year, we've never done this before. We were on decline. We had an unusual event with weather, well going down together. So in 20 plus, it's never occurred. I fully expect to not have that happen again in the next one. So the reason that it got to this level was because every day the towers had a new lower level. They didn't recover. They lost another foot. And that other foot lasted, you know, without the cooperation of the banks. And now the
citizens of Othello, we were able to catch up, and with these conservation efforts, we're doing acceptable, you know, we're doing okay with the efforts of the plants and the citizens of Othello. So, but I got to tell you that we've never encouraged this same, this is a brand new field for us. And it's the very last thing I know that anybody probably works on. But should an emergency occur and we can't rectify it soon enough, and every day the tower is to lose 1 foot or 2 foot, you know, you can see the writing on the wall that we've got X number of days for it to either rectify or conservation and things have to be in place. That's what led this emergency to come to fruition. So, like I said, it did not beat dead horse, but we have never declared this before in my time. So, I fully expect it not to happen this year. Mm-hmm. But it could happen tomorrow.
Not quite.
Okay, so, go on.
I'm sorry. I still think it would behoove us to, even if we don't declare an emergency or just to send out a quick letter within the next day or so to do this odd even watering thing to help out till we get these other pumps up.
What I was trying to convey earlier was that when people ask me questions about what was going on and why are we doing this, when I explained to them the situation that occurred to put us into this position and the measures that were being done by the factories and, you know, what everybody's contribution should be, they're like, well, okay, no problem. Mm-hmm. I agree. I'll do what
just
I can.
Get the information to them.
But, you know, they didn't understand why we were where we were at and why we had to stop doing this. And they don't know how long it's going to last. So if you can give them some form of education, understanding, and when it's going to resolve, then they're easier to accept it. That's what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. You know, let them know.
Well, I think this ordinance is a good tool to allow us to deal with any future situations that come up. Plus, with our efforts to come up with a system to be able to readily contact our public a lot easier, mm-hmm. and be able to educate them on what's going on, these tools are going to give us a lot better grasp on handling any situations that come up in the future.
So, what we've operated on was over since a week ago Friday is voluntary restrictions. And so, in order to implement this conservation and rationing program, we will have to declare a water shortage emergency and then implement that process of even numbered addresses of water on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and odd numbers.
So we go into the temperate mode.
So we would go into the temperate mode, and I think that unless we want to find ourselves again in this place a week from now, where we have to have an emergency council meeting, I think we should enter a temperate stage.
Well, it makes sense with the issues that are still going on with the, you know, getting the wells and the temporary wells online, and some maintenance that needs to be done with well three once we get everything up and running. It makes sense to go into the temperate. You know, I know that leaves that up to Wade, but you know, that would be my.
But we can't even do that for 5 days,
yeah.
Though, right?
No. Yeah, but that gives us time to send out a letter.
As Kelly, yep. As you explained it.
Yeah, the ordinance would be effective in 5 days after passage. That's correct.
Right.
Be
mm-hmm.
up by then.
But we could still enter the temperate stage. It just we couldn't enforce.
That's your decision.
Yeah.
That would be your decision based on where you're at.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm ready to let people start watering again on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Provided you have the well up.
Well, we won't have the well up till Thursday. Hopefully.
Yeah, so we enter this ordinance and it wouldn't be effective for 5 days, but if the city administrator declared a state of emergency in advance of that, you know, they could ask the public to follow the temperate stage guidelines, then after the ordinance becomes effective, then the enforcement measures could go into place.
Okay.
Okay, but let's talk about the timing.
Well, basically, I like the ordinance. I'm going to make a motion to accept the ordinance.
Okay.
But the ordinance may not have to go into effect, is what I'm saying. At this point in time.
So why send a letter out then? If we're going to be backed up by next week first?
For voluntary. For more voluntary, that's what.
It's good to put in place.
I'm talking totally separate from this ordinance. Let's just send them out, like John's saying, to let them know briefly what's going on. Can you help, basically, can you help us out a little bit longer with watering these way, this way?
So we're going to follow this schedule between now and the first then?
No. This is going to take 5 days to even pass.
So we're already.
Hopefully, we will be at a different point.
Okay, well, let's go back. Before we go into those issues, let's finish the issue of this ordinance.
Yes.
Okay, so John made a motion to adopt this ordinance.
I'll second it.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. All right. At this time then, before we go on to the timing of that, I think we have our fire chief with us, and he may want to weigh in at this time, or are you good? Are you just here?
I'll weigh in as a private citizen.
Okay.
I can understand a lot of issues. I'm in a little better boat than most people to understand it, a little more informed. However, I was on vacation when it happened. I've heard a couple of you talk about notification to the public. Right now, we don't have a good system in place to do it. But a letter, a door hanger would do it, so long as it's signed and has a letter down on it. Because when I got home from vacation, my phone lit up, and I got all kinds of questions and things, and all I saw was a letter, no letterhead, no signature, Spanish and English. I had no idea where that came from. I don't have Facebook. I don't have a landline. I don't normally subscribe to the paper. Please, notify the public. We are willing to cut back on the water. I believe that. If we know there's a problem, and it's documented that way.
Thank you, Gary. So let's continue the discussion, Council, then, about sending out a notice and the timing of it, and when we should we move into a temperate stage, if at all.
Well, I would send out a notice that lets them know about the new ordinance, what's in it, what the penalties and everything would be due if we move into those. And then I believe this leaves it up to Wade to make that call. So we wait until, is he going to be back? Is he on vacation?
Yeah, he's on vacation.
He's on vacation.
He's available by telephone.
Okay, he's available. But I would let him make the call maybe after that mailing goes out, and a little bit later, give it a little more time to get the, see if we get the, where we are at. And I have a feeling he's probably going to want to go into the temperate stage anyway, just to help alleviate any pressures on the wells, because we are just with a temporary well 9 situation, and getting well 6 back up, and then possibly having to do some maintenance on 3. That would be my.
Okay.
But get the mailing out and get the people informed as to what is it, what we have, and what could be coming.
I think, I understand what you're saying. I think we just ought to send out a simple, voluntary, nothing to do with this ordinance. Nothing at all, okay? Ordinance is great, I agree. I say yes on it, okay? We just need to send something out real quick within the next day or so and say, hey, voluntary, can you help us out? We need to keep going in the track that we're going. That way, everybody knows. I don't have people coming up to me in church and different places. I didn't even know anything was going on. I don't have Facebook. I don't read the paper. On and on and on. you know, there are people out there like that still. Now, it's hard to believe, not everybody has Facebook, but it's true. But I really think within the next couple of days, we need to get just a short Spanish-English, one page, simple, help us out. We're going to get through this pretty quick, but...
How about help us out and we, and you, in other words, this is the big decision.
At least a schedule.
Yeah, a schedule or even numbered.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, the schedule. Just like that caption, right?
Let people water their lawns or not. I mean, that's really what I'm coming from. Are we going to let them water their lawns starting Wednesday? We want to wait till Thursday? What do you guys want to do? Because we're going to send something out. You think it's okay to let people start watering their lawns on this modified rationing schedule?
I think if we did an odd and even thing, we would be okay.
Starting Wednesday?
Starting tomorrow.
And not only odd and even, but the times. Because I think it's very important that they water in the, in the...
The times are a little bit confusing for me.
Well, in the middle of the night. As opposed to during the day. We don't want them watering in the morning or day or evening.
Well, we have to have an 11, that's in the evening and in the morning is what it states.
I would even say from 12 to like, 12 to 4. Something like that.
The hours are surprising. But I don't know where that comes from, but I know that in the middle of the night, like from midnight to 4 or 11, from midnight to 4 in the morning, it's usually pretty good time to water. You're not evaporating much of it off.
Yeah, it's actually better for the grass to water at that period of time.
But if they simply do it on an even deal, then theoretically half of the population won't be watered. And the other half can't. So I believe it's satisfactory enough at this point in time we can maintain it and not burn a single blade of grass for the time.
Okay.
So that letter will go out when?
Tomorrow. Wednesday.
But
we're going to put it on our Facebook site, internet sites, police chief.
So, Dan, you think by Monday or by the 1st we'll be up and going then, full bore? Well, what's your, or by, how long is it going to take?
I believe that there will be reassembling six. It's my hope that they'll be reassembling it this week. So that should take 5 days. Depending on the weekend, how fall, or they can start.
And depending on a good bacteria sample.
So I hope that by the 25th, I should be able to, with Andy's presence, be able to put water in the tank and put it on temporary.
So my question is, since we're going to implement this, you know, on odd and even, and they're not going to, I say a couple of days by the time everybody gets information, and we're up and going by the 1st, so are we going to write another letter when they can go full bore and irrigate their grass? Or how long are we going to go? Are we going to?
Yeah.
So we'll write another letter then?
Yeah.
And on that one, I mean, that one you can put in with the bill.
Yeah.
If they keep the odd and even, it's okay, you know.
Here's the reality. If we issue this out and we put it on our website tomorrow, those who voluntarily stopped watering, they're going to get that information, and because they already got the information already to voluntarily stop watering their lawns. So those are the people we're trying to reach. Those who continued to water their lawns are going to continue to water their lawns anyway. Mm-hmm. And so I think that it would be a good idea to go ahead and let people know starting tomorrow. We'll put those on the website, and then we'll, in addition to that, we'll send the letter out as soon as staff can get that prepared and put in the mail to all of our water users. Okay?
How long do you think, curiosity?
So everybody would have it by Thursday or Friday.
So we'd have to have the mailings to the post office by 1:30. So tomorrow is not like
Wednesday.
Wednesday, and then everybody pretty much had it on Thursday. That's fine. That's
Friday.
Fine. That's reasonable.
In time for triple digit heat.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing that's stuck in the back of the mind is this coming up weekend.
That heat wave that's coming.
Right. Debbie? Yes? I mean, do we have enough staff to do that?
We have a lot of people, but we were
We do.
We got lots of privacy and all on to help out.
Okay.
We were going to put an emergency in the utility bills, and we were going to be on that next Tuesday.
Next week?
Yeah, next Tuesday with the utility bills, but this is all separately this week.
Well, that might be a good one to have a little note in there about the new ordinance and the future.
Okay. Any further discussion on this?
Nope.
Okay, very good. Thank you, council. Thank you, staff. Thank you, Kelly. Let's go to item five, unfinished business. Is there any unfinished business tonight? Item six, new business. One of the things that Debbie wanted me to ask, are we going to have a quorum for our July 6th workshop? Everybody planning on being here?
Yeah.
Yep, okay. Is there any other unfinished business? I do have a couple of mayor announcements. We now have a vacancy on the Planning Commission. Mike Bailey has resigned. His term will expire December 2018. Apparently, his house is up for sale, too. That was on the internet today. So if someone is, so they must be moving. So if someone is interested, we have an appointment. We have an application at City Hall for any new potential applicants on the Planning Commission. And if you have a recommendation, either let myself or Travis know, or Debbie, or Wade. We plan to activate the siren that is located on a pole behind the police department to start the 4th of July parade. We're actually testing the siren, however, it will be in conjunction with the start of the parade. Staff is working on using the siren for emergency notifications. Stay tuned for more information. Right, Chief? The 4th of July celebration has been scheduled for Saturday, July 4th. We hope everyone will have a fun and safe holiday. The mayor will be attending the AWC annual conference in Wenatchee this week from Tuesday, June 23rd through Friday, June 26th. At this time, the mayor pro tem is out of town on vacation. In the event an emergency meeting has to be held, my understanding of that process is that you there's 24-hour notification. You would come together. Since the mayor is absent, the mayor pro tem is absent, among yourselves you would vote on a temporary mayor pro tem, and that person would preside. Okay, just, you know, continuity here in case something goes on while I'm gone and the mayor pro tem is out of town. This Friday, the ACDC annual banquet is being held in Ritzville on June 26th. I will be in attendance at that. If there's anybody on the council who would like to go, Alex McGregor is going to be the speaker, and you're going to have representatives and of both ends of the county and also elected officials as well. This Saturday is the Othello Hospital Auxiliary 14th Annual Golf Tournament Auction Fundraiser, and it's going to be held Saturday, June 27th. And the last item is the Adams County Pet Rescue has obtained their certificate of occupancy at the new facility. Cool. So moving on to item 7.1, potential litigation. We have a very short session, probably 5 minutes. Spencer will be present, and our legal counsel, Kelly Conkright, will be present. And with that, I anticipate we will take action immediately following that executive session. 5 minutes. And we'll go adjourn into executive session now at 8:44 p.m. Give us a minute to... All right, we enter back into regular session at 8:49 p.m. Spencer, you have an item for the council to consider.
Yes. So the part of my class action lawsuit AT&T has brought a lawsuit against a bunch of different cities for some
tax money that they want back from us. We, along with a bunch of other cities, have been offered a proposal to get out of this lawsuit. The total amount that AT&amp;T could come at us for is about $32,000. This proposal gets us out of the lawsuit for good, for just under $3,000. And my clear consideration is us pulling out for the cost, or the amount, 2019.
Council?
Which we'll save that much in the 26th.
Make the motion that we proceed.
Second. Oh, go ahead.
Okay. We have motion to go ahead and settle for the 29.
8208.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Then Mark Snyder also had an issue.
I'm just kind of concerned about this $1.2 million that Varela wants to design and equip a well, a building, $1.2 million.
Well, that's including the electrical and the pump and everything.
Okay.
It's still ridiculous.
I can.
Yeah, but if you look at proposals for other well houses for other municipalities, it's right in line with it.
No.
It is not.
It's not.
It's a 425 square foot.
When you add the $250,000 for their engineering estimate, their estimate of $250,000 to engineer a 425 square foot building, and then you add on to that $1.1 million, it's $1.3 million.
Is 1.1 included the engineering?
No, it didn't.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, no, it did not. Yeah. No,
it was on the paper that we saw.
No, it did not. I'll get the paperwork and bring it back to you. It did not include the $250,000.
Maybe they should go back to committee.
Just as a point of order, I think it's a great discussion to have, but because it's not on tonight's agenda, what I think we should do, what council should consider doing, is make this an agenda item, and so we can have a full discussion. And maybe you can also have the committee talk about it. But my concern is just from a procedural standpoint, since it wasn't on the agenda.
Then let's make it an agenda item for
we could have a discussion at our workshop.
Unfinished business, because this actually started last meeting. This was part of the amendment. It was part of an amendment from our last meeting.
Yeah, but that meeting was adjourned. So the point of order that comes from our legal counsel is that I think what we need to do this properly, is that, I'll be the first to agree with you, it just seems like an exorbitant amount of money to me. So I think that in order to satisfy the council, they should go back to committee and meet with Varel and Associates to go over those numbers, to go over those figures, and then we can add that to our workshop discussion with the rest of the council. Is that okay?
I don't think we need to meet with Varela. I think we just need to have a discussion with the council. And because they're going to tell you the exact same thing.
Justified.
Right, and that's what they did in the community.
Yeah, they did. They justified it by throwing out the Ritzville pump house. But, you know, if Ritzville's, you know, that dumb to let that happen.
Then I would direct the committee then to go do some outside research to bring back to the rest of the council to talk about, because I don't have enough frame of reference to say that one way or another.
I can do that. I can provide you with actual costs.
No, but what we need is actual costs of other similar projects for municipalities.
That's what we need. So,
I can go out and get a cost to have a building built for 425 square foot block building. I can get a bid from somebody to do that. I can get a bid to get foundation set and footings poured.
John, you're also coming from things from a private industry point of view, whereas municipalities are under some different restrictions. And I think if we get similar projects from municipalities and what the costs were, then we have a good frame of reference for our municipality.
Gina, 2 feet of concrete's 2 feet of concrete.
I think we need to put...
Total number of rebars, the same thing.
Kelly said.
Yeah, I want to cut off the discussion.
We do, we need to have this at another meeting, but we need to have it. That's the point.
Definitely.
All right. Council also received department head reports for May. Having no further business to come before the council, adjourn the meeting tonight at 8:55 p.m.